Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
I told my husband, Peter, he had to open one of his presents before Christmas. After a lot of persuasion and informing him that it's really a present for both of us, he opened the large cardboard box that I'd stashed in the office. It was the highest rated sled from the L.L. Bean catalog. After all the despair, drudgery, rage, and disappointment of 2025, I decided we needed a sled. And while there are only a few inches of snow here in Boston, I knew there was going to be plenty of snow in Maine where we were heading for Christmas. So Christmas Day, we put on our flannel-lined jeans, our hats, our gloves, and we set out sledding. We started safe with the half-plowed driveway at my mom's house. But soon we were ready for something more challenging, so we took turns pulling each other down the street in the sled until finally we found a small hill that overlooked the Maine State House. I don't know if anyone else was in Maine this year for the holidays, but they had a lot more snow than we expected, over a foot of fluffy snow, which turns out is not the best snow for sledding. We tried to go down and veered to the left, veered to the right, had to kind of carve our own path to be able to make it to the bottom. And while we were doing it, cars kept driving by, and I just imagined them seeing these two adults covered in snow going over the crest of the hill. So we waved, and a couple people honked, and it was just so ridiculous, so festive, so fun. I gotta tell y'all, it was delightful. As the new year begins, I invite us to make time to do things that are joyful, perhaps a little silly, and simply delightful. I'm not worried that this will keep us from the more serious goals that we have for the year. In fact, I think that delight is exactly what we need to keep going strong. Back in 2020, the popular radio show This American Life decided that in the midst of the spreading coronavirus pandemic and all the other wild stuff that was going on in our country and the world at that time, the most radical and countercultural thing to do was to spend an entire hour focused on delight. They were right. As a listener, I really needed it. They introduced me to someone who became one of my favorite poets and writers, Ross Gay. For 1 year, Ross wrote by hand a short reflection about something he experienced each day that was delightful. He kept a delight journal. Through this practice, Ross noticed that while it's possible to find delight when we're looking for it, it's easier often to avoid, ignore, and forget small delightful moments that happen in our days. Delight needs us to seek it out, to pay attention, and to remember its impact. Ross says, delight and curiosity are really tied up. You have to be okay with not knowing things. You have to be actually invested and happy about not knowing things. Here's one of my favorite reflections from Ross's Book of Delights. What you don't know until you carry a tomato seedling through the airport onto a plane is that carrying a tomato seedling through the airport and onto a plane will make people smile at you like you are holding a baby. I did not know this until today, carrying my little tomato about 3 or 4 inches high in its 4-inch plastic starter pot, which my friend Michael gave to me, smirking about how I was going to get it home. I slid the thing into my bag while going through security, which made them pull my bag for inspection. When the security guy saw it was a tomato, he smiled and said, "I don't know how to check that. Have a good day." I realized one of its stems was broken from the jostling, so I decided it's better just to carry it out in the open. The flight attendant asked about the tomato at least 5 times, not an exaggeration, every time calling it, "My tomato. Where's my tomato? How's my tomato? You didn't lose my tomato, did you?" She even directed me to an open seat in the exit row. "Why don't you guys sit here and stretch out?" I gathered my things and set the little guy in the window seat so he could look out. In order to find and feel delight, we have to be okay with not knowing things. Much of Ross's delight in traveling with the tomato plant was discovering the answer to the question, what's it like to bring a tomato plant on a plane? Delight is related to the divine virtues of mystery and wonder. I feel like somewhere in adulthood, I was taught that delight is frivolous or childish in like a bad way. But what I've learned through my real life, not what people told me, through hours of playing make-believe with children, by seeing the first crocus every spring, and by sledding this past Christmas, is that delight is sacred. Delight is a necessity. It is an invitation to new life, new joy, new beginnings. Delight inspires us to try new things or to try old things in a new way. Many of Ross Gay's reflections on delight take place in airports or on airplanes. He finds delight in commuting, an experience rarely described as delightful. And yet I can relate. For me, my moments of delight often happen in elevators. Working in a city hospital that's built 23 floors up into the sky, elevator travel is required. I have never counted how many times in one day I get in an elevator, but on the low end, I would say 5, and on the high end, easily over 10. My elevator rides are a reminder to pause, take a breath, and witness something surprising and delightful. Here are a few recent experiences. I get on the elevator. There's already many buttons pressed, which stresses me out because I've got somewhere to go. At the next floor, another woman steps on and I see her looking at the buttons and I expect her to say something that I often hear in the elevator. "Ugh, it's a local, not an express." But instead she says, "Wow, that looks like a Christmas tree." And I look and indeed the buttons are pressed in the shape of a Christmas tree. Another day, I wait for the elevator with a couple that is bringing home their new baby. Tied to the mother's wheelchair are two of the biggest balloons I've ever seen. When the elevator arrives, I hold the door for them and we manage to get them and the balloons into the elevator. But the real joy is that every time the door opens and new people look to step on, they just see these huge balloons. And when they look under the balloons, they see this newborn baby and just all the smiles of people we pass. And when I get off on my floor, I'm smiling too, and I just wonder what their first night at home is gonna be like. Every time the elevator doors open, I wonder who I might see inside. Is it empty? Is it full? Will I have to decide if I'm gonna try to pack myself in or wait for the next one? Will the doors reveal a friend or a friend to be made? Will it smell like cigarette smoke or French fries, fresh cut flowers? Each ride is a surprise. Each ride a potential delight. Ross Gay has another theory about delight, that it grows when it is shared. I think about his story of the tomato plant on the airplane. On average, 2.2 million people listen to This American Life. I just imagine all those people listening and laughing. I imagine everyone who's bought his book reading that and feeling what I felt or something close to it. I was meeting with a group of ministerial colleagues and I asked them to take a moment to share with me something delightful from their day. It was easy and fun, and afterward I realized that now I knew these little things, these little moments from their day that I otherwise would never have known. One friend shared her delight in finding an exciting article in the Harvard archives about students in 1903 who escaped from their classroom by stepping through the window and climbing down the fire escape while their professor's back was turned to write on the blackboard. Another shared the joy of eating an apple that was sliced so thin it was translucent. My third friend shared her delight in just standing next to a big, beautiful old tree. Delight invites us to be curious about our lives and the lives of others. The spiritual practice of delight begins with being curious enough to notice it in our own lives, and it expands when we celebrate our delight and share it with others, and when we ask others to share their delight with us. It inspires us to serve and protect what is delightful in this life. I am delighted by the newborn baby with the enormous balloons I met in the elevator. And I can serve that delight by supporting policies and movements that I believe will help that child and all children have a future. I think of my friend's delight in standing by the beautiful old tree, and I can serve that delight by respecting the natural world and doing my part to reduce as much as I can the harm that I may cause the earth in my lifetime. And I remember the delight I felt last week sledding for the first time in decades. I can make time to play and laugh and be silly and invite others like you to do the same. My hope is that while you've been listening today, you couldn't help but start cataloging some of the delightful moments you've had recently. I hope that you share them. Maybe with someone in the chat, maybe with someone here in the sanctuary or at the brunch potluck. When we share our delights, they grow. I leave you with the words of poet Mary Oliver, who evangelized delight all of her life. This is her poem, Mindful. Every day I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight, that leaves me like a needle in the haystack of light. It was what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclamation. Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, out of the ordinary, the common, the very drab, the daily presentations. Oh, good scholar, I say to myself, how can you help but grow wise with such teachings as these? The untrimmable light of the world, the oceans shine, the prayers that are made of grass. My friends, find what delights you and share it.
We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.